Time to recap McCook City Council meeting number 2 for the month of January. In our studio, City Manager Nate Schneider. I bet those city guys, Kyle and crew, are just can't wait,
yeah,
can't they?
Stay away from them for the next 24 hours. No, those guys, I tell you what, they're professional, and they are ready for anything. I know it's very, very difficult and time-consuming, and I know there have been times they've been out there. Gosh, I think there was a heavy snow back in 2016. I think that was the year we had 18 or 20 inches in one fall. And our guys were out there for 48 hours straight. So one of my guys, 48 hours straight. One of my guys told me that he started seeing Care Bears. He goes, I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, but it was like, yeah, you can only plow snow for so long before you start imagining things.
Oh my gosh! So,
but yeah, it's. It's great to get the moisture,
yeah.
You know, and so don't want to complain, but it will be some work. I just know our guys are up to the task, so they do a great job.
And we're in the presence of greatness this morning. We have the mayor, Linda Taylor, is here. How you doing, Linda?
I'm doing great, and thank you. You're in the presence of someone that loves McCook and wants to see things get done for our community, and it's exciting times for McCook right now. We're really excited about all of the things that are going on.
And here we go with the January. It's off and running, isn't it?
Wow, it is. We are very busy. Nate's going to hang in there with us. We're going to get a lot done this year.
it's never a dull meeting, is it?
You know, honestly, we're queued up for a lot of pretty neat things. We talked about some of them last night. And over the course of the last few months, you know, we've kind of been prepping for this. So I would assume that you'll see some fairly heavy agendas. You're probably going to have to give us more than a half an hour, Rich.
That's okay.
No.
That's okay.
Joking.
No problem at all.
We don't want to cut into open lines.
No problem at all. Let's get right to the agenda from last night. Anything first, announcements and recognitions?
We are working on a wastewater treatment project plan. So a couple of months ago, we approved Miller & Associates to serve as our engineer. And they're going to help us with the planning phase for a new wastewater treatment plant. Our current wastewater treatment plant is at least 50 years old. Some components are older. Our BAF is a little bit newer, but it's still 20 years old, which is hard to believe. It was built in 2006. So we are looking at upgrading our system. We utilize the RBC system, which entails we've got some large wheels that are resting on humongous axles, but those wheels are so heavy that they break, and those axles then break with them, and so we have to cut those off. And you know, originally when we started this process with the RBCs, I think I'm not even sure when the RBC process began, if that was 78. We had I think 15 or 16 RBC wheels in the trains. I think we're down to like 10 or 9, and so we need to look at different options, and we're talking thousands of pounds, and so trying to figure out how to fix, replace, those kinds of things, it gets really complicated. And also, I think that probably there are some new methods that probably are preferred methods as far as getting rid of the solid waste. The other thing that we've been dealing with, the digester issues this past year, We had to clean out our digesters. It was the first time in quite some time that we'd gotten that cleaned. And that was a couple hundred thousand dollars just to get the digesters cleaned. And so looking for ways to try to simplify, hopefully make things a little bit easier. It's a constant battle. It's always going to be a constant battle keeping it up. But we're going to go to Broken Bow in Lexington on Friday. So the council, we're going to call a special meeting because we have 4 council members that want to go along. So we'll be meeting over at the city office at 8 a.m. We'll have 2 vehicles. If anybody wants to go along, they can. They're going to have to provide their own transportation because we won't have transportation for them. But they could follow along with us if they'd like. But all we're going to be doing is just looking at the 2 plants. First, it's going to be Lexington. Second, it's going to be Broken Bow. And then we'll be back probably by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. So it should be a very educational day for all of us. We appreciate Miller setting this up for us so that way we can kind of get a better understanding. I'm kind of a visual person, so if I don't see it, I have a hard time understanding. So he could tell me, you know, what the methods are, but until I actually watch how that works, it makes it hard for me to kind of catch on. I think most people are kind of the same way. So that'll be Friday, January 20th at 8 a.m. The meeting will kick off over at the council chambers, and then we will move to Lexington, and then to Broken Bow, and then back to McCook.
That'll keep you busy on Friday, that's
for
sure.
It'll be a long Friday, but it'll be a good one. So this is something that we need to do.
Next up, public hearings. Had a few from last night, didn't you?
We did. Yeah.
That's an understatement.
And I feel for Linda because she gets to – so sometimes we go in and out of meetings. Well, I should say not meetings, but public hearings. And so all these that we had last night, they're all part of the same project, but they all have individual public hearings. So it kind of makes the process a little onerous. And Linda did a good job of transitioning from one to the next to the next. But there's a lot that goes into it, and you have to make sure that you take the evidence a certain way. And then you have to make sure that you go through the public hearing process a certain way, and you open up the floor to anybody that wants to speak. And then you have to go out of the public hearing and then reconvene as a council, and then you do it again for the next one. And so it's kind of a long process. That probably took up about half of our meeting last night. But basically, we had a request from Go Light to develop the third phase, a third subdivided lot over just north of the golf course. It'd be for a professional building. And they've already done this twice. We've talked about this back in 2019, and then also last year we did one as well, too. There was a dentist office that went in onto one of those lots, and then the other lot is sitting vacant, but there are plans, I think, for another professional building there. A third professional building would be installed at that next location. It's just to the west. There is enough room for a street to be platted and to run through to the north. So if there's additional development, we'll account for that. There was a preliminary plat that was established back in 2022 that we've been following along with, making sure that we don't get too far out of line with what the original plan was. But you can always modify that if you need to. But essentially, the council voted to approve the minor subdivision last night. And then they also, because of the way that the land lies, part of it's inside city limits and part of it's outside city limits, there had to be a voluntary annexation to bring everything in. So the council approved that. And then the other thing that was approved last night was a rezone. Currently, it's zoned partially residential and partially ag. And in order to be able to utilize that building for commercial purposes, it had to be zoned business commercial, which are the same zoning designations as the prior two lots that Go Light had developed. And so it's just the exact same thing that had been done before. And so the council approved the rezone as well. So they'll be able to move forward. The annexation and the zoning ordinance, it's going to take three readings. But once that's done, they can move forward with selling that land and then having whoever it is that purchases it put into a professional development.
Linda, anything?
No. That was a lot of in and outs last night, but we got it done, so that's what we needed to do. And then we moved on to the consent agenda, and that was to ratify the mayor's appointments to the Board of Health, which Nate Snyder serves on, Joel Smith, myself, Dr. Jason Blumstead, and Mary Beth Eisenmayer. Then also, we reappointed Planning Commission people, Ron Free and Cami Bradley, as the extraterritorial representative, Tammy Hilker, and Bruce McDowell, which their terms will expire in September of 25. And also then we put our Kathy McDowell on the McCook Civil Service Commission, and I know Kathy will do a good job on there for us. So basically, there was just a lot of boards that needed to be updated, and we got that taken care of last night. The council was really good about that. So that was mostly our consent agenda items that we had.
All right. Moving on to the regular agenda from last night, discussion of changes, City of McCook's Chapter 150 building codes and regulations, contractor's license.
Barry Mooney brought forward to us that we needed to look at what our building codes were. These were out of date, and so he's really worked hard to put this together. I don't know if you remember, Rich, when we had that big hail, we had so many people coming into town, and they were contractors, and they would re-roof, and a lot of people got taken with that sort of thing. So we put in some code requirements that are going to require people to be trained in the area. They have to come forward. They have to show a certificate of insurance and that they have, kind of like the plumbers do right now. They're the ones that are, you have to have a license. And in this day and age, that's a really good thing. Probably the thing I pointed out last night is a lot of our contractors are really busy. A lot of our contractors are getting older, and we need to look at ways to bring younger people forward in order to be trained, because it takes about 3 years to get training. And I know that the community of Grand Island has moved forward with this. In fact, their sophomores are able to build sheds. And then they have juniors that can move into helping with building a two-bedroom house. So these are things that Mid Plains Community College, our high school, needs to take a look at. Let's bring some young people forward, because it's a wonderful trade and we're going to need them for all of our area. So that's a very important part that we took part in last night. And I'm glad that Barry brought this forward to us.
Receive a follow report from city staff updating the current organizational arrangement for the City of McCook's Dispatch Center.
The Dispatch Center has morphed over the years, and a lot of it is probably credited to the upgrade in technology. We have an individual in Jen Doucette who does a terrific job on the tech side, and just kind of over the course of the years, based upon the way that things have transpired, we had to create a new E911 coordinator position, which Jen filled. So she moved from the administrative assistant position that she was in to the E911 coordinator position. She's very capable. She catches on to things really quickly. She's very, very knowledgeable when it comes to technology. Also, at the same time, we had a transition in the dispatch center with respect to our chief dispatcher. Peg Anderson retired, and so trying to fill that void and figure out how we are going to separate duties or who is going to be responsible for what between the chief dispatcher and the E911 coordinator kind of took us a little bit of time, because we created that new E911 coordinator due to all the new requirements. So we didn't know exactly what everything was going to look like when we started that process. It's come to the realization, I think, of Chief Smith and probably myself, after kind of going through this for about a year and a half, that we could probably roll over the duties and responsibilities of the chief dispatcher into what Jen's responsibilities are, because she's already doing those. And then in doing so, I guess we wouldn't fill the chief dispatcher position as it is currently listed in our pay classification and budget schedule. That would give us some flexibility to actually bring in another administrative assistant, because we have not had an administrative assistant. I shouldn't say that. Jen has kind of filled that role as well too. Jen's probably overtaxed with respect to her responsibilities right now. So Jen, and then also all the dispatchers, have basically been the ones that have taken over the administrative assistant position. But that's really difficult, because there's a lot of things going on back in the dispatch center. So we don't have a person that's manning the front. We don't have a person that's doing some of the clerical things that need to be completed. It's getting spread between everyone else. So Chief Smith had asked if we would consider filling that admin assistant position, not filling the chief dispatcher position. We kind of worked through it as a group. We had Jennifer and Joel, and then also Lilia Demas, our HR director, and Leanne and myself, kind of from the budget perspective, look at this. And we determined that, yeah, this would work. We also don't believe that it requires a change in the budget, because it's not going to change anything financially for us. We also aren't going to reorganize our pay classification, because the administrative assistant has always been a part of that. We just haven't been able to fill it. We won't get rid of the chief dispatcher position, just in case at some point in time we need to look at a chief dispatcher, but that's okay. Again, we didn't have to make any adjustments, because we're still kind of learning on the fly. It sounds to me, based on conversations with other dispatch centers and law enforcement organizations around the state, that everybody's kind of having the same issues, trying to figure out how to adopt the new technologies and make it work with their existing personnel, or how they're going to make those changes to their personnel to accommodate the needs of the center. So it's kind of trial and error. I think we got it figured out. Joel and Chief Smith and Jennifer Doucette were there last night to kind of explain the process back in the dispatch center. It is complicated. I struggle with a lot of the terminology. I did a lot of this stuff when I was doing criminal law back in the day, so I should know probably a little bit more of this. But I think that we've got a pretty good plan moving forward, and we are appreciative of our dispatchers and E-91 coordinator, and obviously police officers and chief. They do a fantastic job.
Pretty important people, aren't they?
They're extremely important people, and they don't only serve, I mean, we all know this, I know everybody out here knows it, but not only do we dispatch for the city of McCook, but we also dispatch for Red Willow County. We dispatch for a lot of surrounding communities. We're kind of the backup for a lot of counties and communities, just in case there are issues that pop up. I know that we're really well trained, and we're ready to move forward with whatever. And the new technology that the council's provided us over the course of the past few years really puts us a step ahead of maybe where some other communities are. So focusing on trying to revamp and upgrade that dispatch center has been huge.
Next up, update regarding the swimming pool and ballpark projects.
That's exciting, isn't it? Okay, what we've got going on now is Tara Cutter is working with Lori Ashcroft in order to get us a grant. We would hope to get $562,000 if we got the full amount of the grant. So we're working on that, and they had to submit between January 15th
and
February 15th the information in order for us to apply for the grant. So hopefully we'll have some good money coming back from that. And Lori always does a good job, and I'm sure Tara will too, in order to get us funding. The other thing is we have appointed a committee of Gene Whedon, Andy Smith, Mike Gonzalez, Jody Crocker, Grant Norgard, Matt Klaus, Kyle Potoff, and Nate Snyder to the McCook Swimming Pool Construction Manager Selection Committee. And what we're going to do is select somebody, meet as a group. This will be a short-term group in order to select the McCook Swimming Pool Construction Manager. Things are moving ahead, and we have to have that done by, is it February 3rd?
That's the plan.
That's the plan. We got a plan. So we want to get this on the way so we can get this done and get the kids swimming in their brand new pool.
Things are moving pretty quickly. You're getting after it, aren't you?
We're getting after it.
Yeah, and the next item that we had was approving an RFP. That's a request for proposal for construction managers, which actually is going to start publication today. We're going to publish for 3 weeks, try to solicit as many proposals as we possibly can from construction managers that would be interested in assisting with the city pool project. Mayor Taylor said, our plan is to go ahead and finalize all of the RFPs or have them in hand by February 3rd. Then the selection committee that Mayor Taylor referenced, they're going to go through, they're going to look at all the RFPs, make sure that they comply with what we have in our RFP document. And if they comply and it looks like they'd be a good fit, we are going to select them for interviews. We'll conduct interviews then in the middle part of February with the hope of bringing on the construction manager via contract either at the very end of February or the beginning of March. The engineer in this project, Lamper Nearson, they've got a timeline that they have established, so we're trying to keep to that timeline as closely as we possibly can. And the construction manager is to be selected towards the beginning of March per that timeline. So our hope is this year would be to go ahead and construct, and then next year would be to have it open. But in order to make this work, we have to stay as close to this timeline as we possibly can. So anyway, we're doing okay so far. A lot of this is kind of new for us. Nate Mustian and I, the city attorney, we're trying to get the RFP written, and it's somewhat complicated to do just because there are so many different things to think about. We plagiarized a couple of other documents to try to make ours work, and then we work with our insurance company, Eller Brock Norris, to help with the limit provisions on the insurance side. So we appreciated their help because we couldn't have done that without them.
Moving on, conducting a study on whether the area east of the McCook Business Park is substandard and blighted.
This is one of those items, you know, when we start talking about developing McCook, we truly have two ways as a city to try to assist in economic development. And that's from a financial perspective. The first is the LB 840 plan that's administered by the EDC and that was voter approved. And that takes some sales tax dollars and allows the EDC to make development decisions that are best for the community. The other one is tax increment financing, which we've had some great tax increment financing projects over the years. The Keystone, Valmont, Next Generation, the two new hotels. On the housing side, we've done Village, Clary Village, Quillen Courts, North Point. There are some local entities that have been able to utilize it, whether it's Instant Convenient or the Charlie's building is one that we had looked at one point in time as far as blight and substandard, but also the building, the Blackwood Enterprise building where the Jimmy John's is located, that was a TIF project. So we've had some pretty good success with TIF. Before you can actually even consider tax increment financing, the state says that you have to go ahead and create a district called a blight and substandard district. And nobody likes those words. I don't like those words either. But that's just the way that the state terms this. You have to create blight and substandard districts, and you have to follow the state statute to make sure that there's, requirements are being met, which there are a lot of different things that are variables that you consider when trying to decide whether an area is blighted and substandard. And it doesn't mean the properties are valued less. It just means that there are areas within that district that could use some assistance potentially, you know, through the development process. So we've done, I think, five districts now. I've kind of lost track. We've done five blighted and substandard districts, and we're looking at doing a sixth, and that would just be to the east of the current industrial park. As everybody knows, over the course of the last 5 years, we've pretty much filled up the industrial park. We've done two big paving projects out there, which has really spurred on the development of that park. Now we have to look and see if there's other land that might be available to go ahead and continue developing our industrial sector. And the most, I guess, the land that would make the most sense at this point in time would be land just to the east of that property. It does have rail access. It would have road access. There would have to be improvements that would be made, kind of similar to what we've done with the current industrial park. But in order to even develop that and have tax increment financing as a development tool, we first have to go through the blight and substandard process. And so staff was just asking for the council to give authority to us to move forward with contracting, probably with Miller and Associates, to provide professional services as our blight and substandard specialist. They've done other projects before in the past, and they're very timely. So that's all we were doing last night, was just asking for permission. Doesn't change the valuation of any of the properties out there. Even if there is a designation that's made, the assessor doesn't use that information to change valuations. And in some cases, and I would argue that it probably increases valuations, because developers come in, they take a look at those properties and say, hey, you know what, I can actually utilize tax increment financing for my project. And that's what a lot of developers are looking at in order to make these projects happen. So that's what the blight and substandard discussion was last night, and looking forward to hopefully adding some ground that we can utilize for future development for our community.
Next up, discussion, City of McCook zoning regulations, specifically what factors, conditions the council must use when determining whether to grant a special exemption.
There is a set of criteria that we have to go through when we grant special exceptions on zoning. And so last night we were given a list of the criteria to go through. You know, does this meet all of this criteria? And if it does, then we allow the special exception.
All right. Plan to stay there.
Okay. Yeah, and there's been so much conversation here lately about, potential projects, you know, whether it's solar or whatever the case may be. And we just need to make sure that we're following our rules and that people understand that we do have a set of rules to address these issues. So we can't go above and beyond those rules. We have to stick with what we've got.
Ordinance, amending the City of McCook Code of Ordinances, miscellaneous travel expenditures.
This is one where we have talked about this for a little while. Leanne was doing some research. The last time that we amended our travel expenditures, and it's for the per diems, for the meals, would have been 32 years ago, 33 years ago, something like that. And so our ordinance read that anybody that was traveling affiliated with the City of McCook, employees, council members, whoever it is, they'd get $5 for breakfast, $10 for lunch, and $15 for supper, which was here recently probably okay. You know, when you compared it to other communities, we're probably in line with other communities. But over the course of the past few years, a number of communities have adopted the GSA standard, which is around $54. So we were thinking that probably makes more sense. We've had some people that have traveled. I know that we had one of our department heads that went to a required conference up in Portland. And she had said, yeah, there's just no way in the world that you could make that work at 5, 10, and 15. And so we asked the council to adopt the federal standard, and we'll word it in the ordinance that that's what we're doing. But we wanted to make sure that everybody knew that we held the line for as long as we could. But inflation has absolutely tapped into every single sector of our society, including the food industry. And so it was hard for our people to do the traveling and eat without having to put in some. And when we're asking them to travel and do this for their job, It is a work requirement. And so we should be making sure that they're taken care of while they're traveling. So
that was on first reading. So any more readings?
Two more readings.
Two more readings.
Correct.
We're already to council comments from last night. Anything there?
Council comments was pretty quiet last night, and then we went into an executive session. So, Nate, you can handle the executive session.
So can't talk about what we did in executive session, but we did meet, and as was mentioned in the agenda, it was a strategy session with respect to real estate purchase for property located at 1200 West 4th Street, which would be the property that is occupied by St. Catharines. So, So we'll continue to work on that. And then one thing I just wanted to mention, just wanted to say that our hearts go out to the Beagler family, and we are with them during this trying time. Jerome works for the City of McCook and has worked for the City of McCook for years and years and years, and is a valued member of our team, and just care deeply for them, and we were there for them, during during this time. So
next council meeting will be coming. You're done for the month of January. Coming up February now.
We've got 3 weeks off, so It gives me some time to try to gear up on some of these grants. So we have a ballpark meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. We've got a good group of stakeholders, the College Foundation, Hospital, in the City of McCook. We meet as often as we possibly can to discuss where we're at in the ballpark process. We've talked a lot about the swimming pool, maybe not quite as much about the ballpark, but the ballpark's a little bit more complicated because there are so many stakeholders involved. But we're working through the process, trying to get that knocked out, get a contract set up so we all know what our obligations and responsibilities are to one another. I wanted to make sure that people knew that we hadn't forgotten about the ballpark. It's just that the ballpark is a little more complicated and a little more time-consuming. The swimming pool, we can kind of just jump right in. No pun intended.
So. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it was coming.
Yeah, I didn't mean to go that route, but
it's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
Thanks.
So next regular council on the 6th, is that right?
I think so.
February 6th, Planning Commission the next Monday.
Maybe we'll see. I know that there are people that I've talked to that want to submit items, but until I get them from people, I don't really make those kind of assumptions. So. A lot of things to work on. I just time-wise, that's always kind of the key, you know, whether people can get their things to us in a timely fashion, mm-hmm. and we have the time to turn it around. If not this month, it'll be March for sure.
All right. And again, City Crews, I'm sure, are, like Nate said at the beginning, are biting at the bit to get out and push some snow.
They're on standby. And they know it. And, yeah, if you get a chance, tell them thanks. They do a great job.
Yes.
Be patient.
Yeah, this one might be a little bit more than the last one.
Yeah, I know it gets frustrating. We all get frustrated when we get those heavy snows. But be patient with them. You know, drive a little bit slower. Maybe plan your trip, you know, around the inclement weather, because they're out there trying to get things cleaned up. Their primary function is to try to get the streets passable. And I know that people sometimes get frustrated because our policy states that the snow goes to both sides of the street. And so it can clog up driveways and it can clog up sidewalks, and we get that. But the primary function of our street department during a snow event is to make sure the streets are passable. I'm not here to knock anybody, but I was up in North Platte here this weekend, and they probably had about the same amount of snow that we did back in early January. It was like trying to drive on Mars. it was crater packed, crevice filled. Yeah. It was insane. And I was just driving up to the main streets were okay, but the residential streets were crazy. I was driving to my daughter's house, and it took me probably about 5 minutes to drive a block and a half, mm-hmm. just because those ice formations were just so bad.
Yeah.
So our guys do fantastic.
Yep. They really do. My kids were down from North Platte, and they said, wow, your street crew does a fantastic job. And so, you know, kudos to them, because I know they work all hours. They work when it's really, really cold and nasty outside. So we really appreciate all they do for us.
This last snowfall, I was shocked, because I figured they would take a night and get some sleep after they plowed all night long. And they decided, as opposed to waiting until the next night, they were going to knock out all the windrows. So they had B Street, C Street, all the windrows picked up and the big piles knocked down, so that way we could eliminate some of the visibility issues. So they basically went 48 hours mm-hmm. With a little nap here or there in between. So you know, we're lucky to have them.